And, of course, the big worrisome question is, we all apparently believe that Mars at one time was very much like Earth. Now, it's not now. It right. wouldn't support life now without spacesuits and lots of protection. So something awful from our perspective happened to Mars. And if it happened to Mars, conceivably it could happen to Earth, yes?
You know, this is you've hit the nail right on the head of one of the main motivators for folks like me and my colleagues who study planets, who study astronomy. We look at the other planets ultimately to learn more about our own planet. And how does our planet work? Well, we need comparisons. We look at places like Mars, places like Venus, the giant outer solar system planets, and we understand how their atmospheres work, or we try to at least. We develop theories and hypotheses that we can test. And all of this is trying to come back to what you just talked about. How do you change the entire climate of a planet from an Earth-like place to the cold, barren, lifeless, waterless world that it is today? And could something like that happen to the Earth? You know, we know there have been big climate changes in the past history of the Earth, the ice ages, for example. We know that our environment is our climate is warming now, perhaps as part of some kind of a natural cycle, but we as humans aren't helping it by pumping a bunch of CO2 into the atmosphere. And you know, what's going to happen to our climate? One of the ways we can help answer that question is by studying places like Mars and trying to figure out what happened to that climate there.
Is there any indication from either one of these now aged machines that there was life of any sort, microbial to large life on Mars? Have we uncovered any evidence?
No, nothing that I could point to, nothing that I've ever seen presented that's unambiguous. Partly it's a limitation of the rovers. We don't have organic chemistry laboratories on board, so if there were some sort of microscopic bacterial life form on the surface, which is unlikely, and we can come back and talk about why. If there were something that was microscopic instead of macroscopic, we don't have a very good way of detecting it with these rovers. They're rock thunkers. They're geologists. They have cameras.
Sure.
We can take beautiful pictures, and if a little green man got up and walked in front of the camera, we'd see that.
Or well, what about a cockroach?
Cockroach, we would see. Yes, we would see that too. We would see any kind of insects, and we've certainly taken more than 160,000 pictures now looking for any kind of evidence, even fossils, no unambiguous evidence that I've seen presented. We haven't seen anything bizarre or, you know, lifelike in terms of the chemistry or the mineralogy. But the rovers aren't really optimized to do that kind of a life detection experiment. That was attempted back in the 70s. You probably remember the Viking landers that
were sent
in the 70s, and there were life detection experiments there. And for the most part, they came up pretty negative. And it's you know, it's a harsh environment on the surface. There's no ozone layer like we have to protect the surface from ultraviolet radiation. It's extremely cold, very, very dry. So it's a very hostile environment. Now, one thing I will say, And this is, you know, I touched on this earlier, and it's exciting. There is the possibility that there is life under the surface on Mars, and I think many scientists would agree that that possibility still exists today. If there was a lot of liquid water there, and we think there was, and if it's warm under the surface as you go down into the surface, just like on the Earth, as you go deeper, it gets warmer, then maybe there's still water down there today, and maybe that's a haven for any life that was on the surface a long time ago. Now, that's speculation. That's wild speculation. We don't have any evidence. We've never drilled into Mars. We've never pulled samples up from underground like we do on the Earth all the time. But one thing the rovers and the other missions that are there have done is make that a sort of a respectable, reasonable scientific hypothesis that underground, deep underground, there may be environments that are still conducive to life as we
well,
know.
Professor, I saw a very interesting, I guess it was NOVA or something like NOVA, I can't recall, but it suggested that if a 4 or 5 mile diameter rock were to crash into Earth, It would destroy all life on Earth, right on down to the microbial level. However, down deep in the Earth, there would be an area between, I guess, the core of the Earth, where it's too hot for any kind of life to survive, and the surface, which would be sterilized. But there would be this area where microbial life would survive perhaps millions or billions of years to eventually, one day, repopulate the Earth with some form of life in some sort of cycle of life and death that planets may go through. Is it possible that Mars is in sort of an opposite cycle of Earth right now, that cycle between life and, I guess we could say, death, and that that life is harbored at some point under the surface of Mars to one day, with some giant change that would come along, once again come to the surface?
You know, Art, it sounds like a plot of a science fiction movie, but what you've just described is actually a completely reasonable hypothesis for what might happen to planets that have life in our solar system or other solar systems. You know, we don't know how many times in the past the Earth was hit by something big. But we know it did happen. There are still scars of impact craters on our own planet. There's a beautiful one in Arizona called Meteor Crater, for example.
Right.
There are hundreds of other ones around the Earth that we can find. You look up at the moon with a telescope or look at the pictures that the Apollo astronauts took as they were flying over, and the moon is littered by holes and you know, scars from when it was pounded early in its history. And so the Earth has been hit, the moon has been hit, Mars has been hit, all the planets are hit with asteroids and comets flying around this early solar system of ours. And some of those things are big. In fact, we think that the moon, one reasonable hypothesis for the origin of the moon is that it was formed when something really big hit the Earth and broke it into basically multiple pieces, some of which went to form the moon. So certainly it's reasonable to say, hey, you know, life on Earth was actually a word that Stephen Jay Gould used, was frustrated. Life was frustrated by these kinds of events. It got started,
yes,
and then something catastrophic happens, something violent happens, and wipes it all out, except for one little niche, like maybe in the mantle like you described, or some little pool of organic stuff somewhere that escaped the catastrophe.